south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, you know, once in a while I get people asking me, do you get hate mail, Johnny? Sure I do. But almost always it's unsigned or anonymous, kind of cowardly, you know. Yeah, like I'm going to reach out to my Chicago mob friends and have your legs broken from down here in Latin America. Hey, if I didn't get hate mail once in a while, I know I wasn't tickling enough nerve endings out there. By the way, speaking of my past life, I get lots of emails from people asking me about that too. You always have to wonder how much of that you want to share, you know? I don't talk too much about that in podcasts or on the radio. However, mentioning I'm from Chicago always conjures up stereotypes, doesn't it? Seems like all over the world, every time you say you're from Chicago, some guy, whether from China, Indonesia, Peru, or wherever, will grin and say, Chicago, Al Capone. I'm not kidding. If I heard that once, I heard it 1,000 times. They'll say Al Capone, and some of them will do an air Tommy gun kind of thing, you know, rat-tat-tat. The fact is, some of my best Chicago buddies were Italians. That sounds rather cliche, doesn't it? You know, you can't really grow up in Chicago and not know any Italians. No, I don't mean immigrant Italians off the boat. Those are rare. I'm talking about second and third generation Italians. You know, that jogs my memory. That reminds me. How about this for a boots on the ground Chicago Italian mob story? I had a friend, an Italian, worked as a bartender at a very nice Italian restaurant. And the back of that restaurant just happened to be a private hotel. A real nice little hotel, maybe only around 20 rooms, that no average person could ever stay at. You just couldn't get a room there. People did stay there, but not the likes of us. So you could walk through that nice Italian restaurant, and there was a door in the back, and if you opened it, you'd see there was a regular hotel desk with little slots for mail and such. A lot of nice wood and stained glass, too. Very elegant. There was usually no one posted behind the desk there, but it did look like it was open for business. Now, I found out later from my Italian bartender buddy, famous Italian guys that came through town would occasionally stay there. Like, for example, Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr. Say what, Sammy Davis Jr.? Well, he was an honorary Afro-Italian, don't you know? Then there were those visitors with old-world European names, like Knuckles and Bugsy. You get the idea, right? Anyway, I think it was in my third year of engineering undergrad, and my buddy used to let me eat for free at that little Italian restaurant. By the way, this Italian guy was one of my high school buddies, so we did keep in touch. He worked the day shift in a restaurant and occasionally went into that deserted hotel part for who knows what. And since he was kind of the day manager, he let me eat lunch for free on the house. Hey, what are friends for, right? By the way, this was well before the internet and cell phones. And you know, there were 4 VIP tables in the back of the restaurant, each with its own private telephone. I know, today everything's VIP, right? But back then, the VIP label was so rare it actually was a big deal. I mean, come on, these days even Chuck E. Cheese has a VIP section. And as for the private phones on the tables, today that'd be a joke. But back then, before cell phones, that was the first time I ever saw such a thing outside of Hollywood movies. Anyway, one day I was in there getting a freebie lunch, and it was very slow. No one was in the place. And my Italian bartender buddy said, hey, Johnny, you want to see $1,000,000? I said, what? Now remember, this was way back when if someone had $1,000,000, they could retire in high style forever. Anyway, when he said that, I said, sure, kind of half believing him. And he walked me back through the door that led to that private hotel section. There was no one there, and he walked me behind the front desk, you know, where they have the mail slots. And there, directly under the counter, was a nice old safe. You know, the real old, heavy, black, gilded kind with all that gold trim. Now, the door was slightly open, and he just pulled on the handle, and it opened all the way. There were just stacks and stacks of 50s and 100s. Then he said, Johnny, I was wrong. I think today there's more like 2.5 mil in here. Anyway, as it turns out, about 2 months later, the place was raided by the feds. Little did anyone know, but those special phones and the house phone had been wiretapped for months. It was part of a Chicago mob money laundering scheme where bagmen would pick up big dough from their operations around town, stop off at that hotel, and put the dough in that safe. Then, once a week, drive or fly to Vegas and make a drop at the Sands Hotel. Because you know those Vegas casinos, at least back then, were operating with millions and millions of bucks worth of cash every day. So it was a money-mixing operation. Gambling dough from Vegas got mixed with the illegal dough coming in from Chicago. Oh, for the good old days. Things were a lot simpler before FATCA and GATCA, huh? And as for my friend, when the feds took the place down, he played dumb. He played the stupid bartender act. He just worked there. They weren't after him anyway. They went for the big guys. And in the end, some of the high-end wise guys and their family members went to jail. However, my friend suddenly disappeared. A lot of us thought he was dead, but he reappeared 5 years later. He said it was part of an inside deal for keeping his mouth shut in front of the feds. What that meant, I don't really know, and I didn't want to know. Now, the amazing thing for me, and maybe you're thinking the same thing, there's a safe. It's got $1 million or more in it, and it's open. And all morning and late into the afternoon, there's really no one around except my buddy, the young bartender. And in the moment, I did say, "You have the combination for that thing?" He said, "No, it's always open." And I gave him that kind of flabbergasted, "What? Look." He said, "Johnny, no one would dare come in here and take one red cent." Yep, that was Chicago way back when. I knew exactly what he was talking about. So yes, I can vouch for the fact that in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, if you lived in Chicago, no matter how straight and clean you were yourself, you had about 1 degree of separation between those connected types and, of course, scumbag, pushead politicians. So in some cases, the stereotypes are true. Like, for example, Chicago being mobbed up in the past. Same with Vegas. Just like if you grew up in an internet-saturated, mindless social media Big Brother state, you get used to that too. That's your point of reference. Or I should say that is the point of reference for most people under 40 these days. Anyway, I started out this segment by talking about the occasional pieces of hate mail that I get. Of course, I get a lot of complimentary mail too, like this one. It comes from Whitey. Yes, Whitey. Now, I couldn't help but think when he signed it Whitey that there'll be any number of snowflakes and social justice warriors that will be offended by that. Or at least he'll be judged. In fact, I understand there are some websites out there where they post a list of names that are, get this, no longer politically or socially acceptable to name your pets. Can you guess which ones they are? Man, am I glad I'm here in Latin America. Hey, I can imagine someday you get a knock at the door and there's some government official standing there telling you you have to change the name of your dog or get a fine or go to jail. Or maybe they'll take your dog or cat away and put them in a foster home until you put in your requisite hours of counseling. But I digress. Man, did I digress. Anyway, our buddy Whitey wrote an email and he says, "Hola, Don Johnny. I just listened to the very first 5 minutes of your very first podcast and the very last 5 minutes of your last podcast." Then he says, "That'll do it. I got it. That's all I need to hear." By the way, great tunage at the beginning of the show. Then he says, "All bad jokes aside, Johnny, I wanted to drop you a quick line to tell you how much I enjoyed expat Eddie's letter and the story you told recently about his, quote, domestic problems, unquote. Hope he'll regale us with another story soon." Then he says, "Johnny, I also really enjoyed the last Captain Mango episode, too. You've got a great way of telling stories that tease us up front, a little meandering along the way on the related topics, and then getting back to the real story. Your discussion also on shipping container homes was very interesting, too. I'd like to check out your buddy's hotel next time we get down to Lake Atitlan in Guatemala. Anyway, keep up the great work, Johnny, and stay," he uses the A word here,
"awesome."
Did you get that? Hey, but there does seem to be some light at the end of the street slang tunnel, you know. Two of my least favorite filler words, that would be
"awesome" and "dude."
Thanks for that, Lurch. Thought he was dead. Anyway, I seem to be hearing those two feeble words less and less these days. You never know what's going to pop up in their place, so we'll see. Hey, now listen to this. Speaking of boots on the ground stories that have an actual moral. Yesterday, yes, just yesterday, got a phone call from a friend of mine. living down here in Latin America too, not so far away from me. In fact, he's a Bitcoin millionaire. You know, it's heartening but very strange to find out that quite a few of my seminar attendees are Bitcoin millionaires, or let's just say, as early adopters, they really cashed in. Anyway, yesterday, one such guy had a flat tire. He's got a big old American truck, and wouldn't you know it, didn't have a spare. And believe it or not, he's not carrying insurance on his vehicle either. He says he'll get around to it, like so many gringos do. Anyway, I pulled up to his gated guarded community. It's a very wealthy one. It's called Sausalito. Sound familiar? It should, because it's a direct rip-off copy of a famous little U.S. town right off San Francisco. Now, this is a gated guarded community for the extraordinarily wealthy. That means lots of scumbag politicians are living there. I know. I've met a few. I'd say minimum lot size, maybe 2 acres, with only about 50 houses in the whole neighborhood. Each one a mansion. I'd say there isn't a single one under 6,000 square feet. Yep, there's shiny, high-end, late-model cars up and down the street. And everyone, except our gringo friend, the only gringo in the hood, has multiple bodyguards, multiple gardeners, and maids. I'd say a smaller house here probably runs around $1 million. That would mean 2 or 3 million in the States. Anyway, I pulled up to the guard shack at this gated guarded community. I was the third vehicle in line waiting to get in. You know the drill, or maybe you don't. You pull out your driver's license, just stick it into a little slot, which takes a photo of the front and back of it. Then the guard will ask you which house and family you're visiting. He'll call them and get the okay before he lets you through. By the way, I always advise gringos and expats who want to remain anonymous, or as anonymous as you possibly can, and believe me, you do have a second chance at regaining your private life. But it does take a little planning. Like, for example, you're going to find throughout Latin America, there are all kinds of gated subdivisions, not to mention businesses and government buildings that you'll end up visiting. That means if you give them your real passport or driver's license, they'll photograph it and you'll lose your privacy and anonymity as you get into more and more databases, just like up in the States. And don't forget, you'll have to give up that information if you get a utility hookup, get a cell phone, rent a place, or get internet service. Now, you can do all that and still remain quite anonymous if you plan ahead and do like so many wise expats and get yourself an international driver's license. And have it made without your last name on it, just your first and middle name. Then you can use that one all day long when asked for ID. For example, suppose your name is William Harvey Kent. Well, you go online, look up international driver's license companies, download the forms, pay your money, probably $30 to $50, and when you fill out the part of the name and the address on that card, skip your last name, just have William Harvey, and put down an address that's nowhere near where you're actually living. Now, in actuality, you're kind of pulling a fast one, but it's not illegal. Because here in Latin America, people generally have 4 names. The first name, middle name, last name, and mother's maiden name. But down here, there are lots and lots of forms and documents where there's no space to print a giant 4-word name. By the way, some Latin people have 2 middle names, so there would be 5 words to the name. Anyway, here in Latin America, even some driver's licenses won't have room for 4 long names, much less 5. So anyway, if you have an international driver's license that's only got your first name and your middle name on it, that's perfectly fine here in Latin America. And if you get pulled over and need to show that license, it is your name, you know. A good part of it, anyway. By the way, you can play all kinds of games with that and still be legal. For example, if your name is Charles Harvey Kent, and let's say your mother's last name is Miles, you could have your international driver's license made out to say Charles Harvey Miles. Again, perfectly legal here in Latin America. And technically, that is your name, or at least most of it. So, as you can see, there are countless games you can play in that department and still keep your privacy and anonymity very much intact. However, if you don't mind having your real dads collected at every little guard shack, office, and government building, well, do like the Latins do. Which brings me to another story within a story. Again, just yesterday, a new lady expat said to me, "Johnny, you know, I went and bought a burner phone the other day. And they asked me for a copy of my passport." Well, I didn't want to do that, but that was the only way I was going to get the phone. Then I said as nicely as I could, and I'm not usually that nice, I said, "You have incomplete information, young lady. Here's how it should and could have went down. If you're going to buy a phone, pay-as-you-go burner or smartphone or paying on a contract, whatever company you're going to choose, and there's 4 or 5 of them down here, the big ones being Tigo, Claro, and Movistar, if you go into one of their sanctioned offices, they're going to ask you for your passport every single time. Or if you're a local or a gringo with residency, they'll ask for your DPI and then they'll make a copy of it. Well, you know, in the interest of privacy and anonymity, you don't want to do that unless you absolutely have to. Well, you don't absolutely have to. Here's the trick. Every big shopping mall and in all the business districts, they have their main offices of those companies that I was telling you about. And the truth is, almost all fresh green gringos think they have to go to one of those stores to get themselves a contract or a burner phone. Well, you know what? You don't ever have to step into one of those places. Instead, do what most locals do. Go to one of the thousands of little tiendas or kiosks with the colored phone symbol logos posted outside. The big three again, Movistar, Tigo, and Claro, or Claro, as newly arrived green gringos often pronounce it. So there are thousands of independents selling all makes and models of phones and SIM cards. Not to mention, they'll often be selling chicharrones, tortillas, tequila, chatarra, which is junk food, beer, eggs, fireworks, pirated CDs, and lottery tickets too. So what's the difference if you buy a phone or SIM chip from them or an actual phone store? Well, they're rather unsophisticated, so they won't ask you for your DPI, identification card, or passport. Why? Because they're just corner vendors. They don't have copy machines or a way to take your passport and ship your debts off to the phone company parent office. I know what you're thinking. How is it possible that they are so lenient and the phone company office so strict? Well, here's what happens. When you buy a phone or chip from them, the phone company will still try to grab your debts. As soon as you load it up with any kind of minutes at all, you'll get a text message. It'll say, please punch in your DPI identification number, and your phone chip will be activated. Now notice they didn't say your passport number. Well, that's because, especially when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, the form of identity that all Latins use is that little DPI card. Now, if you aren't a resident, you don't have a DPI number, just a passport number. So what do you do? Do you give up? Are you SOL? Well, here's another trick you only learn if you're down here and you know a little bit of Spanish. Everyone with a DPI card has an individual number between 8 and 15 digits long, depending on which Latin country you're in. Almost always, they're all numbers, no letters. For example, Ecuador's got 10, Costa Rica's got 9, Guatemala's got 13 digits. Sounds a lot of promise, huh? That means when you put that new SIM chip into that new little burner phone, whatever, and it asks you in a text message to put in your DPI number and you haven't got one, well, you know, some expats will go to greater lengths than others to maintain their anonymity. So what's that mean? Well, surprise, surprise. You pump in the right amount of digits and it works. You'll get a text message that'll say, congratulations, success. In Spanish, éxito. And now you can start using your phone. Now, do notice when you buy a phone or a SIM chip at one of those little kiosks, you'll get a receipt. They always give you a receipt. And they'll ask you your name. And who really knows what they're going to do with that name, if they're collecting it or if they're just going to toss it at the end of the month. That's your chance to play another little name game with them, just in case you know. However, like I said, if you don't mind giving up your name and dats to every Tom, Dick, and Julio that asks for it, go ahead, have at it. But I think most of you are smarter than that. How about this? Some expats and gringos I know have remained off the radar a long, long time. When they have to register for something official like getting a utility service or cable TV, modem, router, internet service, whatever. Now, this might sound devious, and it is, in a way, but many of these gringos and expats will use the DPI number of their gardener, nanny, chauffeur, or cleaning lady. Now, as devious as this might sound, since you're not telling your employee or ex-employee that you're using their ID to get yourself, for example, a burner phone, you could say that's the gringo-instigated version of Latino identity theft. Expat Eddie calls it identity theft liviano. That's identity theft light. The fact is, you don't even have to be underhanded like that at all. All you have to do is give your maid or cleaning lady, maintenance guy, or gardener $25 and send them down to the local kiosk. Tell them to get a phone for you. They'll buy it, stick the chip in, and put in their own DPI number. They don't care. In fact, I've never met a single Latin America who had any privacy issues at all. Like I mentioned in the previous show, they'll give up their name, DPI number, passport, email, home address, business location, you name it. They'll give that stuff up in a heartbeat, especially if it's required to win a pizza or a Happy Meal. Talk about living in the moment. They don't think 2 minutes ahead. And of course, some gringos and expats take advantage of that naivety. Bottom line, since Big Brother is very weak here in Latin America, and Latins are in the very early stages of being monitored and cataloged, they don't realize the dangers and what it's leading up to. But we know, man, do we know. Now, I'm not recommending you pull a fast one and use your cleaning lady's DPI number to buy a SIM chip or internet service, though some expats will. Oddly enough, and for the reasons mentioned previously, if, for example, you just came right out and asked your cleaning lady if you could borrow her DPI number to buy a phone, chip, or whatever, 99 times out of 100, she'd give it to you with a smile. And when she does, I suggest you buy her a Happy Meal and a pizza. Oh, and here's a really useful tip. Buy yourself a cheap burner phone and set it up in your kitchen. Give that number to the guard check, the cleaning lady, your help, and to any person or business you're going to have some dealings with, like, let's say, the TV or washing machine repair guy. Why? Because you don't want repair guys and one-off people you're dealing with to have your personal phone number. Because, you know, lower middle class and poor Latins get their phones stolen all the time. Remember, they're taking the chicken bus, and that's a favorite happy hunting ground of petty thieves. And when that happens, the thief will then have your number. But where were we? Oh, yeah. I was in my car, waiting to go past the guard station in a very high-end Latin subdivision called Sausalito. Anyway, there were three other cars in front of me, all of us waiting to show our IDs and get in past the guard. And the line was just not moving. That's when I noticed in front of the lead car was a pickup truck from the local power and electric company. Had a couple of hard hat guys in the cab, small fiberglass ladder in the back. So these guys were stuck at the very front of the line dealing with the guards, and no one was going anywhere. That was when I got a call from my gringo friend, the guy I was going to help with the tire. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at the front gate trying to get in." I said, "I don't know what's wrong here, but there's an electric company truck haggling with the guards, holding up the whole line. Been there for 15 minutes now." And my friend said, "Oh no, not again." And I said, "What do you mean not again?" He said, "Well, I've seen this thing before. You see, if you don't pay your electric bill for 3 months or more, there'll be a cutoff order. So the electric company truck will come, go to the guard gate, the guard will call the house. Meanwhile, the owner has been notified a number of times on his smartphone or by email that the truck is coming. They'll give you the date. And some of those house owners will play the game of not answering the phone. And the guards, you know, have their orders. If you show up at the gate and they call the house and no one answers, they just don't let you pass. Now, can't you see the irony in this? I'm at one of the highest-end subdivisions in the whole country. Cheapest house, $2 or $3 million. Every one of these owners has a bunch of luxury cars, Porsches, Hummers, a couple of gardeners, maintenance guys, cleaning ladies, the works. Yet they routinely get 3 or 4 months behind on their electric and utility bills. So much so that the utility companies come and try to shut them off. In fact, my gringo friend said just a few weeks ago, they tried to shut the power off to the house next door to him, and he was talking to one of the electric company guys, and he said they had 3 cutoff notices that day in that particular subdivision. Now remember, there's only 50 or so houses in the whole community, and they're going to cut off 3 in one day, which again proves that point that I've been saying over and over again, that it's all about the show. Doesn't seem to matter how much money a Latin person has. They spend, or I should say overspend, so much on the show that they routinely get far, far behind on those routine payments, like electric, water, maintenance, garbage pickup. And as I mentioned in a recent previous show, they're consistently, if not callously, late in paying their own help. Which begs the question, how much loyalty would you have to your employer if he pulled that on you? Well, I can't help but think that for some, that would be like planting the seeds for sabotage or revenge. Which is why so many of us long-term gringos and expats believe when you hear stories about the help and others stealing from wealthier people or even being extorted or even experiencing kidnapping threats, you might want to believe, in some cases anyway, that there's a cosmic payback going on. Hey, I'm not a tinfoil sombrero kind of guy, but sometimes the universe reshuffles the deck. If you know what I mean. All right, here's some breaking news. This article says, you're on the cusp, whether you know it or not, of being robbed. And it's approved by the Securities Exchange Commission of the U.S. Turns out a new U.S. regulation allows your IRA custodian to freeze all the money and assets in your account if that's what's required to save your financial institution if it's in trouble. In fact, the U.S. government supports this theft. They're calling it by the little-known mandate, money market reform. Man, is that not scary? However, the good news is, you've heard of self-directed or checkbook IRAs, right? You can hold assets like gold, land, and property outside of the U.S. and still keep them in your IRA. Well, guess what? There are now, for the very first time, Bitcoin IRAs. Yep. Just ponder that if you think Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies are just a fad. All right, let's see if I can squeeze my seminar info into less than 1 minute here. Yes, if you sign up now, you can still get in on those early bird discounts for my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. That'll be from the 6th through the 11th of January. Though I highly suggest when you come for the seminar, you should add 4 days to the front end or the back end of the seminar dates to take advantage of those 100% boots on the ground pre and post seminar trips. If you're looking for business ideas, once you get down, you can't do better than that. So to check out the seminar itinerary, as well as the early bird discounts, just go to www.thenewexpat.com. And the info for the 2 John Galt trips are on thenewexpat.com too. And for those of you who just can't make it down to the seminar, the next best way to get your Plan B ducks lined up is to take my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Check it out by watching my free introductory video at expatplanb.com. Oh, and don't forget, if you sign up for my Expat Insider Seminar, you and I will be doing a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. By the way, why do you think my phone consults are so popular? I've done over a couple hundred of them. Well, that's an easy one. Everyone's a bit different and their wants and needs will vary. For example, some expat gonna-bes and wannabes are absolutely convinced they'll want to live on or near a very nice beach. Others say they want to live in the highlands. They don't care about water, but they want a view of mountains or volcanoes. Some want to have pets, even big ones like horses. Others want to homestead or be completely off the grid. Some have kids and want to be close to a helicopter school. Others have a pension or social security, and they want to fade into the sunset. Margarita in one hand, a Cuban cigar or doobie in the other. Hey, you know there's lots of baby boomers coming down, and some of them want to relive their childhood, you know? Never a deadhead myself, but to each his own.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.